Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Kitchen.
Meantime, Belichick's gonna be live every year, and they don't even have a roster! They lost everybody, including the quarterback and the backup quarterback, so Brady got shipped out of town. People still think they're gonna have a winning season, and Belichick's gonna be there every single year. He's gonna win the Super Bowl first.
Right on! Let's do it! Rock that world! Rock that world!
And I think Tom Brady will likely not win another Super Bowl. I think Bill Belichick probably won't win another Super Bowl either, but he has a lot more chances. So, I mean, if you just look at the raw odds, what Max is talking about, I'd be happier putting my money on maybe Bill Belichick.
You guys want to probably get some hugs in too, huh? Big news!
No, that's okay. We've actually known for a while.
What? You guys knew? You all knew and you didn't tell me?
On Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
I just don't remember in my heart attacking him as a man. I never thought his wife shouldn't be married to David Price. But it was a great move, what he did.
Awesome.
$1,000 to each.
He stepped up.
Stepped up and delivered, and credit to him for that.
We know who you are, Barney. I think you'll be glad that you decided to come. These are people just like you, Barney. They too have had their lives shattered.
As a pitcher, was he always the guy he needed to be? No, absolutely not with the Boston Red Sox. Were there moments of extreme frustration with him? Absolutely.
Yeah! You're gonna die, clown! You think that's funny? I don't need you laughing now!
Whoa, whoa, whoa! Enough.
Now, it's time for Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Coming at ya!
Do this all the time. We end up having these conversations off the air that I should bring to the air because they're decent conversations and we're talking about them and nobody's listening. What did I tease before the break?
Max Kellerman's
Max
thoughts
Kellerman. Okay,
about
we'll get to that. Okay.
Hockey.
But I just want to say, because we heard the stuff during the open there.
Yeah.
I have this feeling, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. I may be wrong here, and I'm just kind of throwing it out there. It feels like to me that the Bucs and Tom Brady are going to have to capitalize on this honeymoon period if they want a shot at winning the Super Bowl. I could be wrong there, and I get it. The training camp and the lack of OTAs and practice time and all those things don't help, and that's tough.
Yeah.
But it feels like to me, if they're going to make a run at a Super Bowl championship, they've got to do it in the first year. I don't think it's going to work as well. They have to capitalize on the honeymoon period that's going to take place. I don't think it's going to work as well in the second year. I don't know why. I feel like it's going to go.
You know,
Brett Favre and
exactly,
the Vikings.
That's exactly what I was going to bring up with Brett Favre and the Vikings.
Maybe
first
that's what
year,
it is. And maybe I'm
NFC
just,
Championship yeah. game. He looks awesome. The best he had looked in years. Next year, and he does his same bull crap in the offseason. Well, yeah. I don't know. And they got to go fly to him and try and drag him back and say, no, come on, we need you.
It just wasn't even
and
close to the
sucked
same.
Yep. The next year.
And maybe
and got hurt.
Brady is older. I mean, he'd be 44.
Yeah.
You know, that's not helping. So it just feels like you've got a capital. You have Gronk back. Gronk was breaking down. Is that too harsh when he was here his last year in New England? He wasn't the same guy.
He was breaking down for a
while. So then he's got another year of wear and tear after that. I feel like if they're going to do it, it's got to be this year. You capitalize on the hype. You capitalize on the goodwill that everybody has towards Tom Brady, the goodwill that everybody has towards the situation where everybody's open before egos get in the way, before you've lived together for too long and you start to get annoyed with each other. Capitalize on it now. That's what it feels like to me. I could be wrong.
It could be a Manning Broncos situation, though, you know?
That's right.
It really could be. It could be a situation where, you know, that was, what, 3 years?
But Manning wasn't 44.
No, but Manning was also coming off of a situation where he had...
And he did. He was terrible the year they actually...
But terrible neck. He couldn't do as much anymore.
Okay. How many years was it between the Seahawks Super Bowl? It was two.
Two.
No, the Seahawks won, the Patriots won, then the Broncos won.
Yes.
So
yes,
that's that doesn't bode well. If you think it's going to be a Peyton Manning situation, that does not bode well, because if it is a Peyton Manning situation in Tampa, the Broncos went to the Super Bowl, got killed, then the Patriots beat the Seahawks, then the Broncos won the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 50 2 years later. If that's the case, if that's what happens in Tampa, Tom Brady's going to be winning a Super Bowl at age 45. That's tough to sell.
Yeah.
And you'd have to revamp that entire defense because they don't have an elite defense. You'd have to revamp everybody. And the Broncos still had their cornerstone piece even when they were getting smoked in the Super Bowl. I don't think that the Bucs, and maybe we'll find out more, do they have a cornerstone defensive piece to the likes of Von Miller?
No, not to that type of level.
So that was the foundation of their defense, and they had obviously all those defensive backs. I don't know if that's going to be a realistic scenario for the Bucs. I think it'd be more realistic they make a run this year, and then Brady's not, you know, he's going to be a year older, Gronk's a year older. Can they turn that defense into something elite? I wouldn't bet on that.
Yeah, if they don't make a deep run in the playoffs, you got to look at it like how much are they going to put into the next year? How much are they going to put into the next year? You know, all of them. So, yeah, I think you're right in the sense that that first year is very important to what they do and how it progresses. Because if Tom's frustrated, and we've seen what happens when Tom's frustrated, it doesn't go so well. And he's frustrated with those around him, doesn't go so well. So I think they need a very positive year one. A very positive year one to have any shot at being ultimately successful in year two. Because if they go 7-9 again, if they go 8-8, if they go 9-7 this year, no shot the following season, none.
The question I think is becoming more and more fascinating. A lot of people probably wouldn't agree, but the question of who will win more games next year, the Patriots or Bucks, is becoming more and more fascinating. Because the more I really think about it, the less confident I am in the Bucs. And I don't want to say the more confident I am in the Patriots, because I don't know how Jarrett Stidham's going to play. I don't even know if he's going to win the job. He better.
Well, I think we're trending in the right direction here.
Yeah.
I mean, with Stidham going out and taking his wide receivers and doing running through
organizing
drills with them.
Drills.
And Edelman's participating in it. It's not like it's just N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers. It's a lot of these guys are participating in it and trying to get on the same page with each other. So I think it's going to be good. But the genesis of this conversation was the clip that we played in the open saying, I don't remember who said it, but saying, I don't think either of them are going to win another Super Bowl. I don't think Tom's winning another Super
Foxworth,
Bowl.
Foxworth, I think.
Maybe. And I don't think Bill Belichick's winning another Super Bowl. And I kind of feel the same way.
Yeah, if I had to make a bet, that's the bet I would take. Yep.
If the bet was, will Tom or Bill win another Super Bowl? Or will neither of them win another Super Bowl? I'm putting my money on neither.
100%. 100 out of 100.
On neither.
Correct.
Because Tom, 2 years.
Yeah, right? I think. Or if 1 year, if you subscribe to my.
Possibly one.
Yeah.
Bill, 4. Maybe 5. And if you're not going to do it now with a defense where you still have some pieces in place that are older but still quality, 4 years from now, they're not going to be there. McCourties are not going to be there.
Well, here's the thing. That's a good
point. 4 years from now, I don't think Hightower is going to be there. I think he's in 4 more years, I think he's retired.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Gilmore, will he be top of his game in 4 years?
Absolutely not.
No.
No.
So you've got a couple of young, interesting pieces on the defensive side that we'd like to see how they progress. Chase Winovich being one of them. We'd like to see
more out of J.C. Jackson. Looks like a guy that could become a Pro Bowl level corner.
We'll see what Kyle Duggar is.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a couple of pieces there that could be interesting. But when you look at the offensive side, I think we all know they're not up to snuff to win a Super Bowl.
Right?
Right. Defensively, maybe they are. Maybe they're much closer defensively than they are offensively.
Correct.
But that defense isn't going to look the same in a couple of years. And that's going to be Bill Belichick pushing 70, 71 years old. Now, he hasn't lost his fastball yet, at least that we believe. But come on, it's coming soon. It's coming soon.
Yeah, and that doesn't even take into account, does he still want to coach? Does he still want to do it? He might, like I've said 100,000 times, when Bill Belichick leaves, it is going to be out of nowhere. And we have no idea what he could be thinking right now. This is my last year. And we would have no clue. Now, I don't think that's what he's thinking.
I highly doubt it. If it was his last year, he would have just paid Tom.
Okay. I agree. But I don't think that's what he's thinking.
No. No. I think he's trying to build the next one. I think he's trying to win without Tom. And I don't think it's like a malicious trying to, I'm trying to shove it down everyone's throat. And I won without Tom. I think it's more of a like, I want to win another one, and the best way to do it, maybe in 3 years with this kid. I can't win right now with Tom.
Yeah, what the Patriots will have to do is you hope Jarrett, and this is an obvious statement, but you hope Jarrett Stidham ascends enough where the offense can be a well-balanced machine, and that the defense, which inevitably will come down a little once you lose guys like McCourty and Gilmore comes out of his elite, he's basically the best cornerback in the league right now. When he isn't that anymore, they're going to come down a little bit. You hope that they don't come down too much and they only get to a point where they're sort of both very good.
Yeah.
Nothing's elite, but both are very good. And you hope that's enough to make a run to get to a Super Bowl, maybe win a Super Bowl. I doubt, we'll see what Stidham is. Is he going to be elite? Is he going to be able to carry the New England Patriots to a Super Bowl? Just his arm? I don't know. That's asking a lot. It's unlikely. Yeah. So you got to hope that the defense is, they're going to come back. You hope they don't come back enough where all of a sudden the offense has to be carrying them like Brady had to do from 2010 to 2012, those years.
Yeah.
Because then they'll never win another Super Bowl because Bill will age out by the time anything else turns around, and it won't happen. Okay. Let's talk about – so Max Kellerman, we don't have the sound, but he was talking about hockey.
Yeah.
And he talked about how hockey is basically the – not even in the top four major sports discussion. What were your thoughts on those comments that he thinks hockey is something, as he said, that most people don't care about?
Listen, anyone on ESPN takes a shot at hockey, I just look at it as like, you guys don't have the rights. When you have the rights, you're not going to say that. When you don't have the rights, you're going to say that.
Yeah.
And
all right, but forget about the TV rights.
Hold on. As it pertains to ESPN, I don't take much of anything with regards to hockey from them.
Right.
You know, there's one person there that you look at and go, oh, she knows her stuff and she loves hockey more than anything, and that's Linda Cohn.
No, there's more than one person.
Well, that's the most notable, recognizable, because I don't watch ESPN.
John Buccigross loves hockey.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. I don't see him on anymore. Do you?
Yeah, I don't see him on a ton, but he's one of the big hockey guys, Levy likes hockey.
Yeah, you never see these people anymore, though. Well, that's kind of the point.
SportsCenter's not what it was.
No, it's not, but ESPN's turned over almost completely different than what it used to be from when we knew it.
Yeah.
Hockey's incredibly popular in a lot of markets. Hockey is more popular in Boston than basketball. It just is. Basketball, the Celtics get more play. There's more conversation about them, but I'm pretty sure if you go regular season to regular season, I'm pretty sure the Bruins beat out the Celtics. In TV rating numbers, I'm pretty sure they do. You can't compare tickets sold because it's a different configuration, but I'm pretty sure, at least when I was looking at ratings, they were doing better than the Celtics were doing. They were doing better. It's more popular here in Boston, not too far from where you are, Max. It's more popular in a lot of places than basketball is. Is hockey the fourth sport of the major four, maybe, across the country?
Well,
but in some places, it's two.
Okay. Well, if you want to, is college football a separate sport from NFL football? because it's not the fourth sport if that's the case.
Did he say that?
Max didn't say that.
Okay, so then you can't roll that into his perspective, but it's a really good question. Because I never thought of it like that, because I usually just say football.
Right.
And I encompass college football into it.
Well, that's
because
why I'm trying to specify.
You know, I know there's a half of the country that's far more into college football, a lot of times because they don't have a local pro team. Like, you worked in Alabama, Mississippi, that area.
Yeah.
And they care way more about college football.
Hold on. I also worked in Georgia, where they care way more about college football than the Atlanta Falcons.
Well, yeah. Yeah, the Bulldogs are bigger than the Falcons.
The Bulldogs are in northern Georgia. They root for the Vols, and they do not care about the Falcons nearly as much.
Really?
Not nearly as much.
Yeah.
They don't mind the Falcons, but it is the Bulldogs number one, and the college teams are number one easily.
Yeah. So if you separate those two, then and you said there's a power four, then yeah, then maybe hockey is on its way out. Maybe baseball is kind of on its way out there.
Look,
it is an incredibly popular sport. It does very well in this country. It's unfortunately in some markets that it shouldn't be in. That kind of drags down the game a little bit. But it's incredibly popular. And I think he's just looking at his tiny little perspective being in the Bristol bubble. And they don't have the rights to hockey, so they're not watching it. They're not covering it. They don't care about it. And I think he's just using that viewpoint. He's looking inside his one little bubble in Bristol, where if we don't play it here, it clearly doesn't matter, because that's their attitude towards it.
Yeah, of course, and that's not surprising. I'm just saying, if he's looking at it, people in this region are going to get up in arms. And I'm a hockey guy. I played hockey. I love hockey. Okay.
Yeah, you love hockey. I don't have that deep seated love. I never played it, so I don't have that kind of attachment to the sport. I like the sport. I think it's an awesome sport. It's a hell of a lot of fun to watch. I like the violence without it being over-the-top violence in terms of how hard they hit each other and occasional just a straight-up fight.
Yeah, it's not the UFC.
No, but it's up there. It's incredibly popular, and it does really well in ratings across the country.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't necessarily blame him for making a comment like that when you factor in where he works and the fact that he does have a national show. He is not thinking like a regional show. I mean, he's not thinking like he's from Boston or he's catering to Boston. He's thinking from a national perspective. And over the course of the entire country, it's not as popular.
Well, here's the fallacy of that thinking. It's not a national game. It's an international game.
It's an international
game. And when I say that, you look at baseball, yes, you've got the Toronto Blue Jays. You have one team in Canada.
Yeah.
You look at the NBA, you got one team in Canada, the Toronto Raptors. The NFL, none.
Yeah.
Almost half the league is in the other country. Mm-hmm. So you can't look at it the same way, because it's not. If you're looking at it just going, hey, in this country alone, this sport's more popular, sure. But the reality is the game isn't an exclusively American. That league isn't exclusively American. Most of the popularity is coming from up there, granted, but it's not the same as the NBA. It's not the same as Major League Baseball, where it's almost exclusively played in this one country.
Yeah.
And we view those as our sports.
I'm just trying to say, I'm not pissed at the guy, because I understand why he would say something like that.
Well, I'm not pissed because I generally don't care what he usually says.
No, obviously. I'm just saying, from his seat, I understand why he would think like that. Do I agree with him? Of course not. There's a lot of people care about hockey, and a lot of people want to see hockey and they go out of their way to consume hockey and all of those things. I just understand why he would say something like that if I'm him, or if I'm looking at the whole situation. When you work for ESPN and you cater, I mean, you know, Mississippi, First Take is big down there. It's always on down there. Everybody, all the gyms have it on. It's big. They're not, you know, hockey down there, it's not a thing down there.
Sure.
So that's why he's probably thinking like that. For me, in Boston, it's huge. You're right. The Bruins are probably bigger than the Celtics overall. I don't have the numbers, the ratings.
No, I'm pretty sure it used to come in fairly often that they were that they would beat out the Celtics in ratings. Regular season, head-to-head. Pretty sure. I haven't looked at that stuff in a long time. But it honestly, hockey's bigger here than basketball is. Straight up. And this, you're in the same region as us, Max. You're in the same region.
It's also big in New York. The Rangers and Islanders. The Rangers have won more consistently than the Knicks. They've won a championship when was their last title they won? 94? Knicks haven't won since 72 or whatever it is.
73.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Hockey's big. There's a lot of good players that come out of the state of New York, not necessarily
Detroit. I think the Red Wings are bigger than the Pistons. Maybe not right now because the Red Wings suck.
Yeah.
But all through the 90s, the Red Wings were bigger than the Pistons.
A lot of good players come out of both Michigan and New York. Charlie McAvoy's from Long Island.
Chicago? Blackhawks were bigger than the Bulls post-Jordan.
Yeah. Well, at least through the 2010s, the Blackhawks were huge.
So I just ran through a couple of major markets right there.
Yeah. No, you're right. But
St. Louis?
Well, up until this last year, it didn't have... I think what helped...
Yeah, they don't have an NBA team.
They don't have an NBA or NFL team, so that helped the Blues.
Yeah, so
it's a baseball town.
Therefore, in that town, hockey is more popular than basketball, certainly.
Yeah. But I understand what he said. I understand why he would make a dumb comment like that.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
He makes a lot of dumb comments.
Yeah. Okay. When we get back here, I want to talk about something that was brought up on WEI.com this week. The biggest what if in Boston sports history. We'll dive into that for a minute. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEI.
Sports Radio 103.7 WEI. Trending now. Now, the WEI trending now.
Good morning at 1024. Here's what's trending on WEI and WEI.com. Brooklyn Nets forward Kevin Durant rules himself out for the remainder of the 2019-2020 season. He says, it's best for me to just wait. Zach LaVine is disappointed that the Bulls aren't part of the NBA's 22-team plan to finish the season. And also, Patriots quarterback Jarrett Stidham leads throwing session with teammates Julian Edelman to get things up and going for the upcoming season. I'm Devin Telgani, and that's what's trending now.
Now, back to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
All right, back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show. 401-737-1287.
What are you playing, Flo Rida?
You know it.
God. Okay. It's a good song.
Yeah.
We play that song at my wedding. No, just kidding.
Is that what we do here? Every bumper music is your wedding playlist?
I just figured you'd get you'd give me more crap about that. Okay. So WEI.com was talking about earlier in the week. The biggest what if in Boston sports history.
Huh, I wonder where they got that idea.
Started thinking about that. That's a good question. The biggest what if.
Yeah.
So they had three things on the poll. It was, what if Babe Ruth never got traded from the Red Sox?
Jesus Christ.
If Drew Bledsoe never got hurt?
That's a good one.
And what if Len Bias never died? He overdosed and died shortly after the Celtics drafted him in when? 1986?
Yeah, I can't really go with that one because we have no idea. He was going to be as
a pro. And then there was a fourth category for other, and you could write in your what if you had another one.
Sure.
Do you have one that – what would be your number one if you had anything?
My number one would be the Bledsoe-Brady situation.
What about that? What if what? Bledsoe just didn't get hurt. When would Tom Brady have taken over?
How would that have looked? You know, would it have been a – you know, there's a lot there. There's a really lot there because he had a fat contract on Drew, and granted, you were able to get rid of it and get him out of here in division, but I know some people, and I think it's revisionist history, Brady was going to start at some point anyway that year. I don't know about that. I don't know, because if they were kind of trudging along
well,
and
remember,
they were okay.
They were on their way to 0-2 with Bledsoe.
Yeah.
So they would have been 0-2.
Okay.
So that would have been you know, most teams don't make the playoffs, whatever the percentage is. Teams that start 0-2, they don't make the playoffs. 90% of them that start 0-2, I don't have the exact number.
Sure, but if he doesn't get hurt and maybe plays the majority and then Brady comes in by Thanksgiving and they're still a non-playoff team, Does Belichick get fired after two mediocre seasons? There's a lot there. There's a lot of dominoes that fall in that one. So to me, that's got to be up there because we do have 20 years of success. So if you look at maybe if this one thing didn't happen, how does everything look? What if this situation played out differently? So I think that's the biggest one. I don't care to go literally to 100 years ago in Babe Ruth. I don't care that much because did Babe Ruth win those championships with the Yankees by himself? No. The reality is if you go back and look at it, they had a much better team at that point. They had constructed a better team 4 or 5 years later. The Red Sox were consistently building up a championship and then trading those guys off. If you look at what was going on, guys like Tris Speaker, if we're going to go down that road, I'll get nerdy and I'll go down that road.
Oh, don't get nerdy on me.
But the Red Sox, that's what they were kind of doing. That was their MO. And they did a pretty good job for a couple of years rebuilding out. But that wasn't a get one guy in that sport is not a guarantee of success, as we've seen for literally 100-plus years. Ken Griffey Jr., best baseball player, one of the best baseball players at the time. Barry Bonds, probably better than Ken Griffey Jr.
Nah, don't talk to me about that.
Doesn't matter. What did either of them win? I think we can agree they were definitely the best position players 100%. In the game.
Griffey never even went to the World Series.
Exactly.
And they had a good team.
And Bonds went to one.
One.
So in that sport, it's not the same. So I don't know what becomes of it, if anything comes of it. Maybe they're just an average team. Maybe they're the same thing that they are with Babe Ruth. Does the landscape change? Are the Yankees not nearly as great and dominant? Sure. Sure. But I don't care about how that pertains to us. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to throw the Babe Ruth one out. I'm going to throw the Len Bias one out because we have no idea. It's not like we got 2 years and it was like, it's not like a quasi-Brandon Roy situation. Where you're like, man, this kid's pretty good. Man, he's getting better. He's taking that next step. And then he has this horrible injury and his career is completely derailed before he really got to live up to his potential. But we saw him at the next level be more than quality all-star type. Len Bias, we never saw a single game. So we've seen plenty of guys come out of college in basketball who are good, really good college basketball players that do nothing in the NBA. So yeah. Again, I'm going to kind of throw one
okay,
out.
I see why you're throwing it out. I do. The only thing that I would come back at you with is the bigger part of the what if to me, not necessarily what kind of player would Len Bias have been.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest part. What kind of player would he been? But the bigger part, though, was what if the timing of the draft pick. They drafted him when? June of 1986? The Celtics had just won their third championship of the Larry Bird era. Mm-hmm. They had the best team they ever had. With Walton and Bird and McHale and all those guys, Parrish, all those guys, and you would have been adding what a lot of people were calling the next Michael Jordan or whatever. Maybe that was early to be calling somebody the next Michael Jordan, but he was the next guy. And you would have put him with Bird and with McHale and with Parrish coming off of that championship team.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been unbelievable to see how that unfolded. I mean, imagine that. That doesn't happen today in the NBA. It doesn't.
Yeah,
I mean, imagine, you know, you'd probably have to go back a few years, but one of those Warriors teams then getting Zion. I mean, that's what it would have been like. Something like that. That would have been really cool to see unfold. So I see why you threw it out.
So instead of Babe Ruth, instead of Len Bias, I'll give you a couple other what ifs.
Well, let me give you mine.
Okay, go ahead.
An obvious one, but I think my biggest what if is Tim Duncan in 1996.
Yes.
Because here's the reason. The Celtics were so bad then, and we've seen in basketball, one guy can really turn it around. And when you think about what Tim Duncan did in San Antonio, winning 5 championships, and he was the guy, the best power forward of all time in many people's eyes. He won how many MVPs? Multiple MVPs, 5 titles. He created the culture for that organization, Greg Popovich and Tim Duncan. But
yeah,
it was Duncan.
David Robinson.
Yeah, David Robinson. He had a lot of good help.
And Robinson was really good the first one. He was still a great player the first championship. The second one, 2003, he was a valuable piece, but he wasn't
but
the same
player.
But
by then they had Tony Parker and Monte Ginobili on the team,
Parker
and they had
you're
Bruce
Ginobili.
Bowen. So, but I just would have liked to have seen what Tim Duncan's career would have been like, his trajectory, what kind of team the Celtics would have created around him. Would he have had the career that he had? Would he have won a championship? Would he have been Patrick Ewing? I would have loved to have seen, knowing he won 5 in San Antonio, if he had been in Boston, what he would have been able to accomplish. That's probably my biggest what if, because the Celtics were so bad at the time. I would have loved to have seen how that played out.
Yeah. I'll throw you those in conjunction with the Tim Duncan thing. And we saw what happened when he did become a head coach of the Indiana Pacers. He became coach of the year and took his team to the NBA Finals. What if they had Larry Bird coach instead of that scumbag Rick Pitino?
Sure.
Yeah.
Was that around the same time?
Yeah.
Pitino in 97 took the job?
Yeah, and then it was a year later that Bird
okay, 98,
it.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's a great question.
So that's something I'll throw in there. You can always throw in the, what if Grady Little took out Pedro early
yep,
enough?
Yep, yep.
You know, what if he went to someone else other than Wakefield, although at that point you really had no other option? There's plenty of those little what ifs. There's plenty of them. But to me, the Duncan one is right up there. Because as much as Len Bias joining a team, a loaded team, is intriguing, we don't know what he would have been as a professional basketball player.
Correct, correct.
We knew that Tim Duncan is, if you're doing an all-time starting five, if you're not putting him at the four position, you're doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We know that.
Yeah.
He's the greatest to ever play that position. And granted, he played a lot of center in his career. But we know that about him. So how would that have gone here? You know, if Pitino's the coach, does he just get sick of Pitino and he's gone in 2 years and he's end up in Orlando like it almost happened? Whereas T-Mac and Duncan, you know, that could have been the case. That could have almost happened. So there's a couple of those.
Another one real quick. I think you could throw in, what if the Celtics found a way to get Kevin Durant in 2007? Because weren't they in line? Didn't
if
they have
they
the
won
top
that
two
lottery,
odds?
Yeah.
They would have had one or two. They were in line for one or two, right?
And as Danny said, if he was one or two, if the Celtics were one or two, if they were one, they were taking Durant over yep. Oden anyway.
And then if they were two, he would have fallen to them. All right, let's talk to Dan and Cranston with a what if. Hey, Dan.
Hey, I love these type of games.
Great.
Two big what ifs. One, Ben, you won't care about. One, you will care about.
Go ahead.
What if Tom Watson can only have got up and down in 2009?
Oh, my gosh. That's still, every time I watch that clip, I still think it's going to be, you know, right next to the hole.
I know. It kills me.
Oh,
you're right. I didn't care.
The other one is more for me, but maybe for, what if the Patriots got blown out against the Falcons after the Super Bowl and they never made the comeback? Quarterback
Ooh.
Change probably would have happened because that was in motion. And how different things would be right now, we'll never know.
That's a really good one. If the Patriots never managed to pull off that second half comeback, how quickly is Tom gone?
Adam Schefter said the plan was to move forward after that game if they didn't win.
Yep.
It's been documented. So
that
which wouldn't have shocked me.
And where would Brady have ended up at that point?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it wouldn't have been the lowly Buccaneers at that time.
No, it could have been a team. He could have won another Super Bowl. You never know.
I could tell you what Dan from Cranston would have been a hell of a lot happier.
Yeah.
See you later, guys.
All right, see you, Dan.
Could have ended up on my Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Would have been interesting.
Play with Larry Fitz.
Yep.
Oof.
I forget who the coach there was at the time.
Bruce Arians.
Bruce Arians, that's right. Jeez. Okay. Yeah, the Watson thing was heartbreaking. I mean, what an unbelievable.
Was that 86?
No, 2009.
When 86 was when Jack won his last major, right?
But that was, I think Jack was 46.
Yeah.
Watson was 59.
Yeah.
And he was going to win the British Open at 59. It was, and it was a manageable ask. The putt, he didn't get it, all he had to do was get it close and just get up and down from the back of the green. He just went a little bit too far and then missed the comebacker. Oh, my gosh.
I'll give you another what if. What if Tiger Woods wasn't addicted to that honey drip? What if Tiger Woods wasn't addicted to getting laid all the time by every possible woman he could get laid by?
Well, when you think of Tiger Woods, then this is the most amazing thing. He basically went... So all of the things that Tiger Woods has accomplished, he basically went without a major through his prime. Most golfers, now I don't have the stats, but most golfers are at their best, you know,
early
30s to through their 30s.
Yep.
That's when they're at their best, and even more so than when they're in their 20s. He did that whole stretch. He went through his entire 30s without winning. Can you imagine if he was at his best during those years when most golfers are in their prime? I mean, go look at the stats. Go look at who won. The guy who beat Watson in that British Open in 2009 was in his mid-30s, Stuart Sink. Mm. So many guys have won majors, their first majors. You know, now I'm, you know, I can't think of anybody right off the top of my head. But they win Phil Mickelson won the Masters when he was in his mid-30s. He won it before that, but he was in his mid-30s. He won the Masters. Ernie Els won the Open Championship recently.
Yep.
In his mid-30s.
Let me give you another one.
Yeah.
What if Ulf Samuelsson doesn't take out Cam's knee? What if? I think that's a good one.
I mean, that's a good one in terms of the trajectory of Cam Neely's career, but would the Bruins have been a championship team?
Maybe. I mean, they were pretty consistently either going to the Stanley Cup final or deep into the playoffs at that time period. Now, it was a couple of years later where it finally caught up with Cam and he had to hang it up.
Yeah.
But what if?
Here's another one. ML Carr. I have pictures. I don't have pictures, but they're online. Working out Kobe Bryant in the Celtics uniform.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Who did he draft instead? Antoine Walker. What if he picked Kobe? That would have been fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll tell you what else would have been fascinating. Antoine Walker was a damn good player, okay? He was really good, yet the Celtics that next year, the 96-97 Celtics, which would have been Walker's rookie year, they were terrible.
Yeah.
And they essentially tanked.
No. They didn't essentially tank.
They tanked.
And that's why ML Carr had the job.
So I'm just saying that you could have had Kobe and Duncan. Obviously, a lot of things would have had to fall in place. You would have had to take Kobe, but you were in position to do that. And then Duncan, if you won that lottery, you had the... I'm just assuming even with Kobe, they probably would have been, if not the worst team in the league, one of them. They probably would have had a chance to win that lottery. If you ever won that lottery with Kobe on the team?
What if KG didn't get hurt in 2009? What if Kendrick Perkins didn't get hurt in 2010 in the finals?
I think 2009 was... they would have won another title.
I think they would have won both years.
Probably.
I think that if those two key injuries didn't happen to them, I think they could have potentially won three in a row. They were that much more ahead of the field at that point. And then it obviously caught up with them. But KG in 2009, because they were really good then, they make the finals again in 2010, and you've got Kendrick Perkins going down in the finals, and Rashid put up his best, but he just didn't have the gas. And they were just getting out-rebounded like a bastard in that game.
He didn't have the gas. He wasn't the down-low presence that defensively that Kendrick Perkins once I felt like.
Well, he couldn't give
you the same
thing.
He was a good rebounder. He wasn't a shot blocker, and he didn't have the mass.
You needed a lot of rebounds in that game because you got dominated. Powell made the Celtics look awful in that game.
Or here's another what-if. What if the Red Sox never got David Ortiz? Do you think the Red Sox would have won?
Point.
All That's a really good
series?
One.
It's a good one.
That's
what
a
if
really
they
good
never,
one.
Because it was so improbable that a guy that you just kind of signed off the street, I mean, I know he's on the Twins, but you just kind of signed him without fanfare, turned into that. That's a good one.
Yeah.
What would they have won without him?
Mm-hmm.
They won one in 2018, but now that one's sort of murky.
Yeah, it's murky.
I mean, it's not like they can't win without him. They wouldn't have won without him, but you're going to win four without him or three without him? I don't know. You're going to win in 04 without him? Probably not.
I don't think so.
No way.
I don't think so.
You win in 07 without him, but probably 04 and 13 do not happen without David Ortiz. And even in 07, was he the ALCS MVP? No. Maybe you win 07 without him. You have Beckett. You have Manny. You have guys like Youkilis and Pedroia. You have Ellsbury. You have Mike Lowell. Maybe you could get 07 without Ortiz. Maybe. That's a good one. All right.
I'm trying to look at it right now.
I'll look at it. When we get back, it'll be the producer's question. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
Now, back to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
All right, back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show. Did you ever get those David Ortiz stats?
Got him right now doing the scroll.
Would he have
scroll.
Been a big part of that? Or would they have won that series without him?
Oh, dude. 2007 playoffs, David Ortiz, ALDS against the Los Angeles Angels. He hit 714 with two home runs.
Okay.
In the ALCS, he hit 292. And in the World Series, he hit 333.
So maybe they wouldn't have won any without him. Any of those first three. They definitely wouldn't have won in 04 or 13, I don't think.
I agree.
So I don't know who you have in there replacing him, but I'm guessing
Jeremy
it ain't David
Giambi.
Ortiz. Yeah, right. Maybe you keep a guy like Adrian Beltre. I don't know.
Well, you probably didn't, even though the guy was a piece of crap, you probably didn't trade Shea Hillenbrand.
Was he a piece of crap?
Yeah, he's a crappy guy. I've heard some not so flattering stories about everyday Shea.
Yeah?
Yep.
He had some good
he's a productive-ish player.
Yeah, he's a good hitter.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a great guy, but a good hitter.
Let's get the producer's question.
It is time for the producer's question. So here is Devin Telgani.
For da.
He has a question. It won't be about sports. So here
don't do that.
It
we're gonna one of these weeks
Mark
we're gonna sing
Ben.
It too.
We'll harmonize.
Remind me next week. I want to do that. We'll sing it.
I'll remind you guys. I'm not here next week. I am.
Ah, all right.
What you got, Dev?
All right, guys. This week's question of the day is: how long do you guys think you could last in a Friday the 13th horror movie?
Okay, you got to remind me. Friday the 13th. That's Freddy Krueger, right?
Yep.
Forever.
Really?
I've never had a nightmare in my entire life. I honestly couldn't tell you the last time I remember a dream, but I've never had a nightmare, so I'm fine. Because that's Nightmare on Elm Street, right?
No, that's the one with Jason, Friday the 13th, where he has the mask and he's killing everyone.
Oh, Friday the 13th is Jason.
Yeah.
At Crystal Lake?
Yeah.
Okay. Where? Oh, no, here's the thing. I would have lasted a while, because you know what the reality is? If we're talking about the first one?
Yeah, the first one.
Who was Jason in the first one? It was like a 55-year-old mom. I would have been fine. Because the reveal was it was Jason's mother.
Right.
Right? Yeah, I would have been fine. I wouldn't have ended up like Kevin Bacon.
All right, so tell me the question again, Friday the 13th.
The question is basically, how long would you have survived in Friday the 13th? So you're at Camp Crystal Lake, you're a horny teenager with other horny teenagers, and you're all just getting chopped up into little itty-bitty bits by a mid-50s woman wearing a hockey mask. How long do you survive? I make it out of that camp alive.
I'd be the first one dead.
Well, we know that. I mean, you're the sacrificial lamb. You're the one we all kick in the back and go, get him while we run.
So you're gonna crush me right now.
Because you're not going to live?
No.
You've never seen the movie.
I'm about to ask you, okay.
Go ahead.
You're going to crush me.
Go ahead.
But I'll do it anyway.
I do this to you weekly, so don't worry.
Was Freddy Krueger a woman?
No, those are two different ones. Freddy Krueger was a guy. Freddy Krueger, if I remember correctly, and I'm not a big horror movie guy, but Freddy Krueger was originally killed by people in the neighborhood because they thought he was a pedophile. Maybe he actually was a pedophile.
Yes, okay.
Freddy Krueger's different. Freddy Krueger was the one that got into your dreams and turned them into nightmares or whatever, and that's how he killed Johnny Depp. Remember the blood all over the bedroom? When
Johnny
Depp
was in those movies.
He was in the first one. And the bed like kind of half swallows him up, and then it's just a bloody bath everywhere.
He actually dies in the movie?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. Jason is the one that eventually became, like, if you go beyond Friday the 13th, it actually was Jason. You know, big, like, 6'4" dude with a, you know, a machete coming after you. I'm probably not making that out of that one. But the first one, when it's a 55-year-old woman, I'm okay.
Who's the 55-year-old woman?
The mom. The mom was the killer in the first one. Spoiler alert, the movie came out in like 1980.
Yep.
But the mom was the killer. That was the reveal at the end. Jason drowned in Crystal Lake because the camp counselors were negligent. And so that's when she went back and got revenge on people that I don't think were his counselors. I don't remember.
So Jason and Freddy Krueger is the same person?
Nope, two different. They fought each other in a movie.
Okay. So I'm totally lost. Never seen any of these movies. I'd say I'd get out of there. No problem.
Yeah, right?
Get out of there.
It's a campground.
Yeah.
I mean, now, even if I was...
I hate camp. I'm not a camp guy.
I am.
Go to camp.
But if I was 18, I'm easily outrunning her.
Yeah.
Without a problem. When I was 18, even at 35, I have no problem. I'm outrunning her. And that's... You know,
so she was coming in
15
while people
years
slept,
of abusing-
and they, she was massacring people in their sleep.
No.
At the camp. No.
Sometimes they were asleep. Sometimes they were getting laid.
And she came in with a mask on.
Yeah, and just hacked them.
Hacked them.
Yeah, I'm out of there. I'm getting out of there. Not a problem.
I guess I got to check out this
Freddy Krueger. Not a problem. I don't have nightmares.
All right.
I don't remember my dreams.
See, I got to watch more horror movies.
What about Halloween? Michael Myers?
Never seen that one.
I'm going to have a problem with that.
I always run into this friggin' problem.
They've never seen anything?
Yeah, I've never seen. I got to watch some of these movies. You know what? My wife made a good point earlier this week. She said, what movie were we talking about? Scarface.
Yeah.
That's what we were talking about. And I was like, she was talking to me about watching Scarface. I was like, you want to watch Scarface? And she was like, not really, but I want to be able to get some of the references that I can never get.
Sure.
So it makes sense. I've never been a big movie guy. Mm-hmm. So you come at me with this from 1980. Like,
yeah,
I've never
seen it.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's been in our public consciousness for 40 years now.
Yeah, I know. I've just never seen it.
Okay. Did you guys end up watching Scarface?
No. We had this conversation three days ago.
Let me tell you about
I'll
Scarface.
I'll tell you a movie I've seen, the horror movie I've seen.
Okay, go ahead.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre with Jess Biel. Seen that one.
Oh,
yep,
the remake.
Saw that eighth grade.
The remake? Okay.
The remake. Give me other horror movies. I'm sure I've seen other.
Hills Have Eyes.
You know which
You're
one
not
I,
making it out of that
the
one.
The Shining.
You know which one I saw? Mm. I've seen The Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah, that's.
Not making
that,
it out of that
no, one. Nope.
Okay,
nope,
you know
nope,
which
nope,
one
nope.
I'll tell you which one I actually kind of liked.
Yeah.
Is it called The Omen?
Yeah. Damien?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah, that
Julia Stiles, was she in that?
Oh, that's the remake. The first one came out in 69 or something like
no,
that.
No, I'm not watching anything from the 60s.
But let's go back.
I'm watching the remakes.
Let's go back
from today.
To Scarface for a second.
Yeah.
Scarface, decent movie. Pretty cool. Well done in certain areas. Overrated.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not as great as people like to make it out to be. So, meh. If you miss it, you miss it. It's okay.
Okay. I'm not big on movies from before my time. Just not.
My favorite movie of all time is from before my time.
Which is that?
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Indiana Jones, baby.
But,
all day, every day.
Mm-hmm. The one that I'm scared of is The Conjuring. That's a good one.
Any of the horror movies that came out like after 2000, I guarantee you I haven't really seen or I've seen snippets of, and I barely know what's going on. The Conjuring's one of the ones I don't really know anything about. What was that one about?
It was basically about the house being haunted and having evil spirits basically come back and basically almost try to kill the family.
The Hills Have Eyes have... Well, that was crazy.
That was creepy
what
as all hell.
What was that about?
They were
contaminated or something?
Humans
were contaminated?
Like mutated humans,
yes.
That kind of had control of this little bit of area, and people would go because they wanted to camp or whatever,
yeah.
And they would just terrorize people. It was brutal.
Messed up. They looked
But anything that
up.
Involves a haunted house, I think it's the dumbest thing
ridiculous.
I've ever seen, because you know what's going to happen? If that house is haunted, quote-unquote, you know what I'm doing?
Yeah.
I'm walking outside, and I'm either just continuing to walk and go, don't worry about it, or I'm walking outside, going into my pocket, grabbing a lighter, and I'm lighting that sumbitch up.
Okay.
And it's not a problem then.
Tell me this. Is this a horror movie? The Happening. I saw The Happening. Horror movie? Weird movie.
That's the M. Night Shyamalan movie with the wind is the
yes, the wind
the trees are doing
kills
it.
You.
Yeah. No, that's just
that's
dumb.
That's a weird movie.
That's just dumb.
Oh, that was the weirdest
dumb.
Movie.
Dumb. He made some bad movies.
I've probably seen other horror movies. I just can't think of them. I don't remember if I've seen the Blair Witch Project.
I've seen the Blair Witch Project.
The Silence
the
of the Lambs.
No.
That's a thriller. I don't call that a horror movie. That's
a
psychological thriller.
Is that a horror movie? Would that be a horror movie?
I really guess. A movie. Maybe it's a thriller. Carrie? It's kind of a horror movie. That one's messed up.
I don't know if I would say this, but it maybe.
It's a horror movie.
Yeah.
It's a horror movie.
Definitely is.
I'm not one of those people, I've never understood this. I was never afraid of clowns. I didn't find them creepy.
I was when I was little.
You
I hated
were
clowns. Yeah.
You still afraid of clowns?
No.
Okay. Well, at least you grew up, because I know adults that are like, I'm terrified of clowns. They freak me out. They creep me out. I'm like, why?
Well, I mean, the whole thing with the people dressing up as clowns that happened a couple of years ago.
You walk around this country and half the women have the same makeup on as the clowns do. You afraid of all of them? That was weird, but it's like if I was walking down the trail behind my house with my dog and someone just kind of popped out with a clown, I would have had that moment like, and then I'd be like, okay, what are you going to do?
Exactly.
What are you going to do?
Honk his horn?
Yeah.
Honk his nose.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Not afraid of clowns. Not afraid of any of that stuff.
Okay.
But Hills Have Eyes?
The original Terminator might be a horror movie,
too. Where the hell did I watch that? I definitely didn't, like, rent it.
The Hills Have Eyes? I didn't either. I just saw it, like, randomly on Showtime one day, and I was like, this is messed up.
Oh, and also a good one, Children of the Corn.
That one's creepy. But they're kids. They're kids. They're, like, 4'7". You just, it's like trying to fight a bunch of birds, you just start kicking and you're fine. They're little kids.
Yeah.
The oldest one, was it Malachi? Was that the oldest kid?
Yeah.
He was what, 14?
Basically.
Yeah, I've never been afraid of a 14-year-old. Maybe when I was 13. But since I've been 15, I haven't been afraid of a 14-year-old in any context. So I'm okay with that one. I'm fine. You know what else I do if they're hanging out in the cornfield? I burn the cornfield down. This is why I always have a lighter, in case I need to burn things. So I'm not a pyro.
So Joe says here he would make it out alive. Friday the 13th movie.
I am mildly intrigued about this, about that movie.
Friday the 13th?
Yeah, the mom coming in and killing people while
he's a mama's boy that's scared of water.
Okay.
Yeah, but Joe, you missed the point is, in the first one, it's the mom that's killing everyone. And that's why I'm like, I'm out. I'm fine. I'm good. It's not, you know, Flo-Jo is running around killing people and I can't outrun her.
I seen Kelly Rowland take it to Jason and Freddy versus Jason. I was done at that point.
A Destiny's Child toppled.
I heard Kelly Rowland. I was like, yeah, this can't be the one I'm thinking of.
And then you immediately just started to sing Say My Name in your head.
Say My Name.
Was that a Destiny's Child song?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
So out of the four of us here, who do you think makes it out alive?
The most? Me. Probably. Or Mark.
Whatever.
I don't know how fast Mark is. Mark, are you fast? Because I can't really run very much anymore.
I wasn't very fast.
I'm 6'1", 200 pounds. I'm okay.
I would be the first one dead.
Nah, you like the cockroach of the studio. You survived, Devin.
No. We already established that Devin's the first one dead. Because if there's a killer coming, we're all pushing him in so we can get away.
Be one hell of a coat.
Some people, oh my God, a human fur coat? If Silence of the Lambs was real and Buffalo Bill was real, and normally he kills women, I think he'd make an exception for you.
Nah, I would. I wouldn't mind.
You wouldn't mind getting skinned?
No.
You wouldn't mind hanging out in the well all day?
Look at his neck right now.
Look
at the neck. I've never seen
it. It's like a thicket.
Oh.
I think Bambi's hiding in there.
I mean, you physically could not give him a hickey.
No, you'd choke.
I mean, Joe could try.
No.
You would choke if you tried to give Devin a hickey. It'd be gross. It'd be a furball.
Oh, my God. I mean, just this side right here, like right over that part of the neck, that lower right quadrant. I can't believe it.
Have you ever shaved your neck?
Yeah, I always do.
You always do?
Yeah.
And it always looks like that?
Yeah.
But it's one thing to have.
It always grows back.
What do you use, a lawnmower?
No. Maybe.
All right. This is taking a turn for the worse.
The more you shave it, the more it grows back.
I've heard that. I don't know. All right. We got to go. We got to run. Good conversation there. Thank you, Dev. All right. Coming up next.
Mark and Hart.
The Mark and Hart Show. This is Mark and Kitchen. 103.7 WEEI.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.